What's up, everybody? This is Will Pruitt here with the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about TNA Impact Wrestling. It is Friday, November 16th. Last night's Impact Wrestling episode was the November 15th episode. And before we get into talking about the episode, I want to talk to you real quick about the ProWrestling.net member site. Because it's awesome. That's basically... You know, the gist of what I want to say about it is that the ProWrestling.net members site is super thunder awesome. Why? Well, let me tell you why. First of all, you get breaking news before anybody else. If something big happens, a lot of times it's not going to be reported on other sites. People don't know about it yet. Word hasn't spread. Jason Powell put it up exclusively for ProWrestling.net members and or mention it exclusively in ProWrestling.net's flagship audio show, .net Weekly, that goes up every Thursday. And you're not going to hear about it for weeks after that. You know, maybe you'll drop a little hint, but you're on the inside with ProWrestling.net, and that is one of the greatest features of this website. Bonus, you also get some top-notch wrestling commentary from, well, not me. I would say I'm like middle-notch, but that's what you're stuck with today. But you get it from Jason Powell and Chris Shore, two lifelong fans of pro wrestling and guys who work, in, you know, who have worked... with wrestling, around wrestling. Chris Shore does some ring announcing and some commentary for high-profile indies as well. You also get Jake Barnett, a lifelong fan. Ryan Kester, lifelong fan. Myself. Some new guys. I think Darren Gutteridge, Jeff Lutz. Those homies also chatting with you, talking to you about wrestling. It's magical, guys. It really is. You get some different perspectives on professional wrestling, which is... what I think one of the best values for your buck. Plus, you get ad-free access to the site. You get .NET member audio interviews. You know, Chris Shore interviewed Kevin Steen. Jason Powell recently sat down with Court Bauer to talk about some shifts in WWE creative. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Chris Jericho, Brock Lesnar, Shane Hurricane Helms, all among the people in our archives. Guys, check out ProWrestling.net. Check, if you don't even want to be a member, just check out the site. Get your news there. We're the best news source on the web. If you do want to check out the member site, $5.50 a month if you take that annual option, which you know saves you about $2 a month over the just monthly option. If you just want to try it for a month, see if you like it, that's chill. We're pretty sure that you will. We're really confident and really proud of the site. That said, let's get into TNA Impact, and I am less excited about Impact than I am about the ProWrestling.net member site, and that's for a number of reasons. The main one being, this show was just kind of a creative disaster. I hate using the word disaster. I really do. But creatively, this show was lacking. And I'm not quite sure why that was. Why was this show lacking so much? And I hypothesized in my Pruitt's Pause article on Monday Night Raw that the reason the show was lacking is that they had to tape three shows in a row with the pay-per-view on Sunday. Then they taped Impact on this week's Impact on Monday, next week's on Tuesday. It's like creative had enough ideas to fill up one good show, but they didn't show up in town with the ideas for three. And as you know, if you read the site, I really like Sunday's pay-per-view as a wrestling show. I really like the pay-per-view just in general as an all-around show. I thought it was really good. So obviously TNA had to use all their good ideas there and not have any left for this show. That's honestly the best excuse I can come up with for why this was such a creative nightmare, really. So let's get into the big news coming out of the show. James Storm was coaxed into putting his number one contendership shot that he won at Victory Final. God, I cannot. Turning Point. Seriously, guys, this is the hardest pay-per-view name for me to remember. I can never think of it. But James Storm was coaxed into putting the title shot he won in the Turning Point match at Turning Point on the line. And he lost said title shot to Bobby Roode in the main event of the evening. Just a few quick things. Why didn't you just have Bobby Roode go over at Turning Point? It would have made more sense. What's James Storm going to do now? And why, if you're not going to have Bobby Roode go over, if the creative team woke up on Monday morning and went, we did the wrong thing, holy crap, we've got to fix it, why not just say, you know what, we're going to go with Hardy versus Storm this month, we're going to build it up, we're going to make it something special, just, you know, for December, going to make it a big thing, and then we're going to transition into Hardy versus Rude. That's, you know, we're going to do Storm because we told the people that Storm was going to get a title shot. Other than that, like, there was a good AJ Styles promo on this show. But other than that, the show was, it just felt meaningless. I mean, it really felt meaningless, and it really felt like I was watching a bad show. And that's a bummer. I hate watching a bad wrestling show. I rarely, you know, I'm a guy who loves wrestling, passionate about it, watches, you know, you can ask my wife, she'll come home from work, and I work in production, so I work some strange hours. So I'm home a lot during the day and gone at night. And she'll come home and all, you know, just chilling, watching wrestling. And she wonders how I can watch it as much as I do. But I don't watch meaningless shows all that often. Like, you may judge me because I work for a wrestling website, but I rarely get around to watching SmackDown. The time that it is at, the, you know, just kind of where it lies on the weekly schedule. I usually, you know, I work weekends most of the time. Again, I work in production. It's a life. Friday night I'm working, Saturday I'm usually working, Sunday I'm working, and even if I'm not working Saturday and Sunday, the wifey kind of likes to hang out with me and not watch wrestling unless it's a pay-per-view. So I'm working those nights. Monday, if I may have the day off, I may be working depending on if I'm needed in my office. But most Mondays, I don't want to watch SmackDown because I know I'm going to watch 3 hours of Raw that night, so I don't. And then I'm not going to watch an outdated show. You know, that was taped a week ago on Tuesday. So I'll usually just end up deleting it off the DVR. Sorry if I've ruined your illusion of the guy who sits around watching a ton of wrestling. I still have a small pile of DVDs that have been sent to me that I need to review. So there's that. But let's get into this show from the beginning, working chronologically through it. If you want to follow along with me, my good friend and colleague Chris Shore, the Southern Gentleman of ProWrestling.net, did some live report coverage that I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be using as kind of my guide to make sure I don't miss anything on the show. Chris's insights are always worth reading, and a lot of times they're different than mine. But I don't think they are on this show. So we opened up with the previously on Impact video package and a recap of what happened at Turning Point about, you know, James Storm winning and AJ Styles losing, the director of Chaos against Joseph Park, and of course Jeff Hardy versus Austin Aries in their insane ladder match. That thing was crazy, guys. If you haven't seen that ladder match, now there's a point counterpoint to it that I won't quite get into about why the match probably shouldn't have happened, but at the same time, it's a really nice match to sit down and watch. So I can't criticize it too much. So then we had Mike Tenay, Todd Kennelly, and Taz, the same three-man booth from the pay-per-view check-in, and I was really disappointed at this point. I like Mike Tenay a lot. I like Jeremy Borash a lot. I don't like Mike Tenay. That's part of the issue. Mike Tenay in the three-man booth is good, though, because Mike Tenay is the professor in the three-man booth. He's not the commentator. He's not the guy guiding you through the show. He's the dude sitting on your couch that knows a ton of trivia. He's me at your wrestling event going, well, you know, this hasn't happened since 2006 when this and this happened. And, you know, you look at Mike Tenay like he's a huge nerd, but he gets paid for doing it, unlike me. Yeah, that's a bummer. I don't get paid to sit on people's couches and wrestling trivialize. That's what I'm going with there. However, if you wanted to pay me to sit on your couch and wrestling trivialize with you, I'm in. So, finally, Todd Kennelly was the third man here. He was the play-by-play guy, and he does an alright job. But he's not Jeremy Borash. I think Jeremy Borash is actually the best commentator that TNA has. And I think they're a little scared because he's also the best ring announcer they have. And he does a really nice job of ring announcing. But honestly, Borash should be on commentary. He is a voice that the audience can trust. He's a guy that they know as TNA born and bred, and that's not a bad thing. Where with Mike Tenay, he's been the voice of a bad product for too long. I think Jeremy Borash deserves a shot at being the lead guy. And if that means getting rid of Todd Kennelly, I'm chill with it, because I don't like him that much. And his voice is too high. That kind of bugs me. So Storm came in, said he didn't win an award, but he wanted to thank a few people. He thanked Hulk Hogan for the shot. He thanked the fans and his family. And he said he was now the number one contender for the World Championship. Boom. Bobby Roode's off the chain-esque music hit. He comes down with two beers, gets in the ring, handed one to Storm, and said he wanted to make a couple toasts to him. Said he wanted to toast all the fans who would be disappointed when Storm failed. He wanted to toast Storm's family and daughter for when Storm has to take his ball and go home once again. And he toasted the beer out of Storm's hand and then took a sip of his own. Storm punched Rude, went for the last call. Rude rolled to the floor. Storm dared him to get back in the ring, and basically Rude said no, there's nothing in it for him unless Storm puts his title shot on the line. Storm basically said, I'm not dumb, and then Rude said, well, tell your daughter Michaela, blah, blah, blah. And then Storm agreed, sweet, let's put that title shot on the line tonight, me and you, with my, you know, number one contendership on the line. I get that Storm, some of you are probably sitting there going, yeah, but Storm was standing up for his family. That's an honorable thing to do. Yeah, it's honorable. It's also dumb. You know, let's say I just won $1 million, and someone comes up and insults my wife, and is like, hey, your wife's a bad person, or something to that effect. I'm not going to turn around and go, hey, you come back here and say that, and now let's put I'm going to put this $1 million on the line to make sure you do. That's stupid. Now, I know this is wrestling, so it's a little bit different because there's more, but, you know, they're trying to make it a real-life thing. So that was the setup for the night's main event angle, and I just think that Storm looks like a really stupid babyface. And that's, in wrestling, so many babyfaces end up looking thunderously dumb because of moves like this. And Storm just kind of joined the club here. So, a video then recapped Aces and Eights attack on Sting. Oh, wait, first we got a video of Hulk Hogan backstage saying he feels bad for Styles. He doesn't know what's going on. Styles is great, but he's just treading water from where he was last year to where he was now. And they also did one of these later in the show with Dixie Carter saying, AJ hasn't moved on. AJ hasn't done the right stuff. AJ isn't doing, you know, AJ hasn't overcome the way that he should. And I hated these. I like AJ Styles promo later in the night, but I really hated Hulk Hogan and Dixie Carter's, like, statements, because they weren't saying these things before the Turning Point match. They weren't saying, man, I don't know if AJ Styles is who he's always been. I'm a little concerned about him. That's what needed to happen. If you're going to go with this story, yeah, you have to foreshadow it a little bit, but you go with it. Because AJ is a talent worth doing that with. And because that way it makes sense in the grand story. And TNA does a really poor job of making things make sense in their big story. So we got that Hulk Hogan segment. Then we got a video recapping Aces and Eights attack on Sting. And the gang was shown back in their clubhouse. Doc was talking about what he did to Sting. Basically, Aces and Eights was planning their next attack slash discussing Doc and whether he should be patched in. And it was a dramatic moment in the life of Doc. The man they called Doc. It was okay. I mean, then they threw the dart at the dartboard and they said, that prick deserves it when it hit whoever it hit. Aces and Eights spreading all that chaos and repeating some old stories. Kid Cash versus Rob Van Dam for the X Division Championship was up next. And I am just so glad that Kid Cash got that title shot that he earned by being in a tag team with Gunner and losing to Chavo and Hernandez multiple times. It's about damn time Kid Cash got that title shot. I mean, he's in this great tag team, dudes with arm tattoos. Of course he deserves it. Yeah, Kid Cash randomly gets an exhibition title shot, loses to Rob Van Dam. I mean, it was basically just, Cash got a couple moves in. The only good part of, and Rob Van Dam hit the 5-star, won the match. The only good part of this match was the commentary discussing, hey, Kid Cash and RVD go way back. They used to be friends. They tagged up in ECW. They know each other really well. That was Taz and Tanae. Able to add something to the match, I think partially because Kennelly was handling play-by-play, and there weren't a ton of moments where I was like, wow, that's some good commentary, but this is one that I have to give them kudos for because it added to the match for me and made it seem a little more meaningful. It's a shame they couldn't, you know, it's one of those funny things where TNA had three kind of televised events to write in 3 days. Or that they were taping 3 days in a row. They had weeks leading up to sit down and write them. Well, why not say, you know, let's have Rob Van Dam versus Kid Cash is good, but let's fly Sanjay Dutt in, or let's bring in Zima Ion. Let's let's find some guys and have us a good old-fashioned number one contenders match for the X Division Championship, because next week we can have Rob Van Dam face a winner of that, and then it has a little bit more meaning to it. It has a little more gravitas. It's ballsier, if you will. And it makes sense. Again, they jump straight into things that don't make a ton of sense. Backstage, Eric Young and ODB made plans for EY to defeat Terra's Boo Jesse. Yes, Chris Shore did write Terra's Boo. I shudder to think of what that man calls his wife. For ODB to win the Knockouts Battle Royal. They mentioned Celebration later and they made out, you know, I don't mind ODB and Eric Young commentary most of the time, or commentary comedy. Man, I should stop drinking so early in the morning. And by drinking, I mean coffee. I should drink more coffee, actually. So, backstage, Kurt Angle was looking for a partner, and Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe were the guys, like, competing for it. Like, pick me! Pick me! When did Kurt Angle become, like, I'm the dude who hangs out with all the rookies, and I cut up my t-shirts, because wrestlers can't wear normal t-shirts. So, Kurt Angle is looking for a partner, and he picks Garrett Bischoff, because obviously he has that Bischoff magic. But he said he had a big plan for Wes. Garrett left to get ready. Angle talked to Wes, and Jesse and Terra came out. This was kind of the end of this segment. Jesse versus Eric Young was surprisingly good. Jesse is actually not a bad wrestler. And this stunts me, because you hear former Big Brother guy, you know, he's muscly, but whatever, he's not going to be good in the ring. Jesse is actually not bad in the ring. I don't really like the act. I don't love what he's doing, but he's not, like, a bad wrestler, you know, which is a sweet. So, Jesse versus Eric Young happened. The girls got involved. Jesse hit, like, a stunner-esque move for the win at 5 minutes and 5 seconds. Good for Jesse. Knockouts getting ready for the Battle Royal were shown backstage. And a video then recap Joseph Park versus Doc from Turning Point. There were a lot of recaps on this show. Every segment seemed to have a video package leading into it. And that, again, the show felt like filler. And I said in my Pause article on Raw, this feels more like an Impact episode from 2007 than an Impact episode from 2012. And I don't know what exactly caused a 5-year regression through TNA history. But I don't like it. And I don't think it's... I really hope it's not a trend that we continue to see. Then we had Joseph Park asking Hulk Hogan for one more match with someone from Aces and Eights. And Hulk said, dude, you swindled me into it before. I'm not going to let you do that again. You are a liability out there because you're not trained to be a wrestler. Park said that was a great idea and he was going to enroll in wrestling camp. He left and Hogan said he wouldn't be back. I don't want Joseph Park to learn to wrestle. Joseph Park wrestling is like the most entertaining thing that TNA does because he is so good at not being able to wrestle. Like, it's amazing that the dude who played Abyss, who was decent in the ring, can strip that away from himself and be terrible just for the sake of TV. Like, just, you know, for the live crowd, and the live crowd loves it. You let Joseph Park keep being bad at things. I mentioned this, I was talking with Jake Barnett on the .NET member exclusive .NET Countdown show on Wednesday. And I mentioned, honestly, if there were a TNA house show coming through my town and I heard Joseph Park was confronting an Aces and Eights member on the card, I would be there. Because Joseph Park is fun to watch fight. The act works, dang it. So then Magnus entered for the TV title match. D-Von hit him from behind with a baseball bat to the legs. Aces and Eights ran out. Doc, and held him down so Doc could hit him in both knees with the hammer. D-Von started to hit Magnus in the head with the bat, but Bully Ray ran out and chased him away. The agents ran out, called for help because Magnus was hurt. So, basically, Magnus, he was supposed to get a TV title match against Samoa Joe. He got injured. I don't know why they're writing Magnus off the show, but this is another kind of disappointing thing that TNA has done with Magnus a lot. He shows up, he's around for a couple weeks, you get to know his character, then he's gone for a month or two. I don't know if he's just has a filming schedule in the UK that he can't work with TNA with. I don't know exactly what's going on, but it's a major disappointment. And the reason it's a major disappointment to me is that Magnus is really talented. And Magnus has a really great character. And if you as a fan are allowed to get to know this character and you get to see the character do awesome things and be as good as he is, you're going to buy in. You're going to want to see him lose or you're going to want to see him win, but Magnus will make you want to watch wrestling, and TNA needs those characters right now. They don't have those characters right now, and Magnus could be that. So, you know, they then went to an Aries and Hardy recap. Golly, this is not a good day for me talking. I'm sorry, guys. This is spectaculous. Jeff Hardy versus Austin Aries, ladder match recap. They showed some of the more insane stuff. You know, a lot of still shots, a lot of the shake the camera as the still shot happens stuff. And then they went to a backstage segment with Austin Aries kind of saying, it's not over between Jeff and I. We're, you know, it basically, I will get back and I will get another title shot, Austin Aries. And then he's like, I'm going to go get a massage right now. And he showed his back and was like, I'm in some pain. He walked into the, I guess, physical therapy / massage room, and Jeff Hardy was getting a massage. And there was this moment of, like, begrudging respect between them. Aries congratulated Hardy and said that Aries elevated Hardy to another level. And that's what Aries did. He brought out the best in them. He said Jeff earned the massage, so he would let him finish, but they weren't over. And he walked away. Cool segment, actually. And I'm going to talk about it here, because then the segment went really far downhill. TNA, they do a lot of interesting storytelling things. There's another one that they're doing with AJ Styles right now that I find really fascinating because it's different than what we normally see in wrestling. But I'll talk about this one first. You don't see champions and challengers after the match talk to each other. Like, you didn't see a segment, even Rock versus John Cena this year. You saw John Cena address the audience, but it would have been sweet to see a Rock and Cena segment where Cena had to go, you were the better man last night. I promised I would win it, and he didn't. And you were the better man. Congratulations. You know, like Aries had to do to Hardy. Say, hey, you were better. I loved that. I really did. I feel like Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries, that was probably my favorite part of their feud. It was a nice little epilogue to it, the begrudging respect and all of that that it showed. They have something. TNA does some interesting things storytelling-wise, and they take risks, and they tell stories in ways that WWE is not willing to. And this is a prime example of how that can work really well. Now, TNA took, you know, I'm congratulating them and talking them up for taking these risks and telling stories in ways that WWE isn't willing to. But they did this in another way that was not good at all. Because Aries leaves the room, and the camera zooms in on Jeff Hardy, and suddenly we're hearing deep thoughts with Jeff Hardy. It's Hardy thought time. And Jeff thought they were done because Aries came into his world, not the champion, and left not the champion. Like, this random, just weird statement from Hardy that I feel like he writes himself, which isn't good because Hardy shouldn't be writing for himself. He's a creative dude, but my word, it's an issue. It just takes you out of the moment. I thought that was a nice, really real segment between Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries, and they took you out of the moment by taking you inside of Jeff Hardy's head. And that's not where you want to be. It's not where anyone wants to be. Then we saw Kurt Angle and Garrett Bischoff make their entrance. Kurt Angle was wearing his... Okay, wrestling pet peeve number 7,422 for me. Wrestlers and their t-shirts, man. So, wrestlers do this thing where they cut up their t-shirts a lot. Shawn Michaels did it. My favorite wrestler of all time cut up his t-shirt in weird ways. Kurt Angle had his t-shirt, like, sleeves cut off, and it was cut down the middle like a vest. I'm sorry, but why can't you just wear a normal t-shirt, wrestlers? I know Hulk Hogan cut up t-shirts in the 80s, and therefore you all grew up with it and thought it was cool, but would it kill you? Every wrestler ever to just wear a t-shirt the way it's intended to be worn. It doesn't look cool. Like, that's the thing about it, too, is Angle just looks like a dope out there in a cut-up t-shirt. It doesn't look cool anymore. It's not something that fans... I don't think any fans are sitting there going, well, I would cheer for this guy a little bit more if he just cut up that t-shirt. You know, if you plan to throw it to the crowd, now that t-shirt is almost worthless to that audience member unless you, like, signed and dated it on the back because it's a freaking cut-up t-shirt. Listen, I understand if you plan on tearing it off your body to look muscular, maybe you cut a little V in the front, but look at Steve Austin. Steve Austin didn't ever cut up his t-shirts. Steve Austin came out there, sleeves and all, and got it done. I don't remember The Rock cutting up a ton of t-shirts. Maybe he does now, but he didn't do it then. Back in the day when he was big, there is no reason wrestlers should cut their t-shirts. I am more passionate about this than I am anything else on this show. Because you just shouldn't cut your t-shirts. It's annoying. It looks stupid. It's one of those things. It's one of those things that makes so little sense to me. It actually embarrasses me when I'm watching wrestling with friends. And a dude comes out with, like, no sleeves and weird slits and stuff in his t-shirt. It looks stupid. That's all from Will's Fashion Advice Corner for this Impact Wrestling audio. I hope you didn't turn it off while I yelled about cutting up t-shirts. If you did, welcome back! So then Angle called out Aces and Eights. Another nonsensical thing, because next week is Open Fight Night, the night where callouts are supposed to happen. TNA, in establishing Open Fight Night, I thought that the theory behind it would be, this is the night when wrestlers call each other out. This is the night when things like that happen. The rest of the weeks, we announce a card beforehand, we stick to it, and on very rare occasions, we end up changing things. I thought Open Fight Night was a way to bring structure by establishing one night of chaos. But no, TNA didn't change the way they write the rest of the shows. It's just on Open Fight Night, they don't have to announce a card beforehand. Dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. So Kurt Angle and Garrett Bischoff versus the Aces and Eights. It was D-Von and a mask dude, the bigger mask guy. I think the rumor is that it's Mike Knox. It might be D'Lo Brown. Heck, it might be like Tugboat. I'm not sure. This was, you know, basically, this involved some this involved like Earl Hebner being very distracted at one point. Seriously, the dude looks like he's wasting away. Hebner's should not referee anymore. Haven't we learned, wrestlers, that this controversy is wrong? Then the prospect held Angle while Doc slid in the ring with the hammer. Wes Briscoe then ran out with a, like, steel pipe of some sort and chased Doc and everyone away. Angle then hit a low blow on the prospect guy, rolled him up for the victory. And again, Aces and Eights, they've hardly won anything aside from that Bound for Glory match. And that's another thing. D-Von tapped out at the pay-per-view. They lost this match on Impact. How is Aces and Eights winning this battle? They're just beating up meaningless dudes now. Backstage, Jesse and Tara were talking about Hollywood couples that got to Brooke Hogan's office, didn't knock on the door, just walked in, and Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan quickly separated. Or they were sitting on the couch together, they both, like, stood up all surprised and left. At one point, like, Brooke adjusted her upper parts and was like, hey, basically, Tara then said, you know, Brooke needs to consult her when she makes Divas or Knockout Division decisions because she's the champion. And Brooke said no. Cute. Brooke kind of looked guilty, by the way. So that's interesting. Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan as a couple should be a really interesting feature on Impact. I'm more than mildly intrigued by that. And I shouldn't be. But I am, damn it. Knockouts started their entrances, went to commercial, came back. Mickey James ended up winning a Knockouts Battle Royal with featured five knockouts in 5 minutes and 31 seconds. It was Mickey James versus Brooke Tessmacher versus Gail Kim versus ODB versus Madison Rayne. I don't know. I didn't love it. It wasn't a bad match, but I don't know. Mickey James still dresses like Pocahontas, and she was kind of the featured star of this match. They mentioned something about her being, having some sort of surgery, benign cysts. Words were used, I believe. So good for Mickey for being healthy. I love that. But beyond that, I'm not super psyched about this match. I don't think it was a wonderful match. It happened. Mickey James is the number one contender now. Backstage, the off-camera guy asked Storm if he realized what the stakes were tonight. Storm said, yeah, I did. And it was his chance to shut up Bobby Roode once and for all. He started to say more, but AJ Styles walked up and just looked at James Storm. And then Storm asked if he could help him, and Styles walked off, and Storm said he was done and walked off too. Interesting. Because, you know, Storm was the guy that pinned Styles, which was, you know, really cool that they would then show Storm kind of get, you know, or that they would show Storm getting the evil eye from Styles. That's neat. Back from commercial, the VP told Doc, you know, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. And Doc looked disappointed, got up, walked out, opens the door to the clubhouse. And there is another one of the Aces and Eights standing there with an Aces and Eights vest. And Doc is patched in. He's in the Aces and Eights. He is their official director of chaos now. He directs chaos and things. And they all partied. A video recap the triple threat from Turning Point, and AJ Styles made his ring entrance. This was another interesting segment. I talked about wrestling not dealing with loss that often. Wrestling, you either win and you move on in victory, or you lose and you move on to another story where you win. Like, maybe if you're a heel, you don't do any of that and you just lose a lot. But for the most part, there's something interesting that happens when wrestlers lose. And that is that they don't really lose. They don't, they don't have moments where they don't have moments where they realize loss and they have to contemplate what loss means for them. And that's something that AJ Styles had here. And, you know, that's something that this story really lends itself to is disappointment. The agony of defeat being played out through AJ Styles in a big way. He came out and basically said, I've had a shitty year. Excuse my language, but that's pretty much what AJ Styles said. You know, I was accused of having sex with Dixie Carter. I was accused of impregnating a crack whore. I was, you know, all of these things happened to me this year, and this is basically how this year ends. Now I can't get a title shot into 2013. He was frustrated. AJ was legit frustrated, which was cool. You know, it's, you know, Chris Shore said in his report he thinks this shows AJ Styles turning heel. I don't know that I'm willing to go that far, but I think this shows AJ Styles maybe becoming more determined, refocused, and rebuilding his character from the ground up. I definitely think this is, excuse the phrasing here, I think this is a major turning point for AJ Styles. This is a moment where Styles goes from the guy, this is a moment where AJ Styles goes from being, yep, get ready to fly, and that dude, to being this legit superstar. And if you tell this story well, even if he doesn't get the shot at Bound for Glory next year, his next title shot is so important. Like, this is a real opportunity to take AJ Styles and rebuild him from the ground up. Give his character new meaning, new motivation. Let his character kind of grow out of what's happened to him. If you can't tell, I really like this story. So, you know, Styles cut this promo. Christopher Daniels and Kazarian's music hit. And they came out. And they were mean to AJ, basically. They talked about how this is all his fault, how he's a loser and stuff. And AJ said, hey, if you look at the win column in AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles is there a lot more often than Christopher Daniels. And they agreed to have one last match together. I'm not excited about Styles and Daniels fighting again, because we've seen it 1,000 million times. That's a lot, by the way. It's a whole lot of times. No, but we've seen AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels an awful lot. What I am excited about is it'll be a good match. It'll be in having that last match kind of stipulation on it, having the idea that this is the end of this feud is something that they've needed, because they kind of paired off into a tag team feud. And, you know, AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels was still going, but you never got that big official blow off to it. And I think TNA needed to offer that. I said it should happen at Bound for Glory, but they went with the triple threat tag match instead, which is kind of understandable. So now I'm saying I'm happy that we're going to get that big blow off between them. It should be really good. I hope Daniels and Styles have saved some stuff, have put ideas away for this moment. So yeah, let's do it one more time. Styles versus Daniels is going to happen again. Then we saw an Austin Aries promo where he said we should watch what happens on Open Fight Night next week. They aired a commercial for Open Fight Night with the return of the Gut Check winners. Oh my word. You mean these guys, you know, Sam Shaw, Taylor, can't spell her name to save my life, Hendrix, and all these people are, you know, Christian York, who I'm legitimately excited to see return. But all these people are going to return all on one show? Why would I watch that? It's, you know, if you told me next week, you know, well, WWE Raw is going to feature all NXT wrestlers. Then I don't really, that's chill. I might DVR it, check out the Seth Rollins match, and, you know, watch some Cassius Ohno, but I'm not going to sit there and watch the entire thing, because it'll probably be bad. That's how I feel about this WWE, or how I feel about this TNA Gut Check Competitors Comeback thing that they're doing. And then we got to the main event. It was Rude versus Storm. Early in the match, Bobby Roode took the turnbuckle pad off, and that ended up playing into the finish. And they started out, they didn't go into, like, a headlock at first or anything like that. They started out with a brawling, punchy punch style, which is fine. I don't feel like this match matched the intensity of their past efforts, and I don't feel like it could have on regular TV, which is a bummer. I don't feel like they were given the buildup to allow it to, and again, I talked about this with the X Division title. Why not say, you know what? You want to have this match, Bobby Roode? Let's have this match next week. Because Roode versus Storm is one of the most valuable commodities in TNA. Roode versus Storm, you know, it should have been their feud of the year this year. It's not, but it should have been. Roode versus Storm is a big deal in TNA Impact Wrestling. And they just said, okay, sweet, let's do it tonight. Same thing, you know, Raw did the same thing with John Cena versus CM Punk this past week. Their best regular roster match is Cena versus Punk. And they just put it on TV, no build-up, whatevs, let's do it. This frustrates me. It does. But, you know, as we got into the match, it was just so much less intense than what we're used to from these two. And that was a bummer. I thought they actually showed a little more intensity in a little more of a dynamic thing going on in the triple threat than they did here. Basically, the finish played out with Storm kind of setting up for his finisher. Earl, or the referee, I don't think it was Earl, I think it was Brian Hebner. The referee getting pulled in the way right as he's about to super kick Roode. Storm was able to pull back on the super kick and save the referee's chin. But then the ref was out of position, and Roode was able to throw Storm into the top turnbuckle, which had been uncovered, and pin him for the three count and the win. Bobby Roode is now the number one contender, not James Storm. Why not just have Roode go over at the pay-per-view then? That's what I'm wondering. Like, I can't think of a single reason why Bobby Roode didn't go over at the pay-per-view. It's not like they want to send the fans home happy. They had Jeff Hardy winning a ladder match. It's not like it would have decreased the match quality. In fact, it would have made more sense. Is the idea to eventually build into a James Storm versus AJ Styles feud? Okay, I can buy it if that's the case, but you can build that feud in other ways. Hell, James Storm is such a great promo. Have him come out, you know, do Styles versus Daniels last match, whatever. Then Styles comes out and he's still a little bit like, ugh, I can't believe I lost that match. I don't have a title shot for a year. I deserve it. I did this. Then have Storm come out and say, you stop whining right now. Boom. There's your feud. Like, that's all it takes. And Storm's a character that would do that. TNA with this show, again, creatively, it felt like they just couldn't write a show for three nights in a row. And they used all their good on night one. The advantage of Impact being live, and I'm not meaning this as an insult to them. I'm trying really hard not to say TNA creative sucks, because we've seen some great stories told by TNA creative this year, and one of the advantages of the Impact live show is that weekly they're sitting down and they're reevaluating their ideas. I think that's one of the reasons we've seen improved quality on Impact in the last 6 months, is they're sitting down every week and going, okay, what do we want to do this week? What, you know, they get the ratings and other feedback, you know, but they're having to wonder, what are we going to do this week? What stories do we want to tell? How can we improve this story from what we did last week? How can we add a new chapter? What can we do to make it better? TNA is doing that on a weekly basis with the Impact Live format. Now, they don't do that, and I don't know. This show just felt really, really bad. It was a bummer. To put it mildly, it was a pretty serious bummer. I'm sad about where TNA is at the moment. I know that sounds a little overdramatic, like, oh, where TNA is, oh, it's so depressing. But they're not in a good place, creatively. I feel just really down about the direction of the company. I didn't think Bound for Glory was great. I thought that Turning Point was a really good show, and they're telling a few interesting stories. The things that are keeping me entertained on Impact right now, really, it's the AJ Styles story, which I think can turn out to be a great moment for Styles as a character, and that's basically it. I mean, there's not much else. I'm interested in what Austin Aries does. I'm interested in how Jeff Hardy's title reign goes, but I'm not glued to my TV waiting for the next chapter like I should be. That's going to wrap it up here for TNA Impact Wrestling Audio, says the dude who ends it on a really depressing note. Yeah, happy things, guys. Bunnies and puppy dogs and such. Again, prowrestling.net, a great way to experience a website, even if you're not a member, is with our mobile app. I'm a fan of it. I use it to keep up with the news while I'm out and about. On your iPhone, Windows phone, Android phone, Amazon device, download our mobile app. Get your news there. Get your wrestling news. Read my columns. Read the columns from all of our people there. It's all available. Everything on the main site available in that mobile app. And if you're an iPhone user, and you're a .NET member, you can even log in on your mobile app, and you get all of your members' benefits via the app as well. It's a great way to listen to our audio and all that action. Also, if you're an iPhone user and you're not a .NET member, check out the All Access Audio app, ProWrestling.net's All Access Audio app. You can listen to this audio right here and any of our other All Access updates. Jake Barnett and Chris Shore talk about SmackDown in an All Access format on a weekly basis. You want to check that out. You want to get that app. It's the best way to experience our All Access audio. And again, if you guys like these things, leave us some reviews in iTunes. Hit us up with that. We would appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for digging ProWrestling.net in whatever way you do. We really appreciate it. Have a great weekend. And I should also mention, I will not be around for Thanksgiving next week. I camp with the family down at Carlsbad State Beach in California every year for Thanksgiving. It's a super fun tradition to, camp over a holiday where it's cold a lot. It's not that cold in Southern California. Don't worry about me, folks. But yeah, it's a very fun tradition, and obviously we're camping. I don't have cable or internet while I'm out there, and even if I did, I would not take the time away from my family over the holiday to watch the Gut Check Returns episode of TNA Impact Wrestling. I'm sorry. So have a great Thanksgiving, guys. Thank you so much for listening. When I list things I'm thankful for, I'm always thankful for this site and the community built up around it. So thank you for giving me a chance to kind of, come into your headphones or your office or your car, wherever you listen to this. And I really hope that you appreciate, I really hope that you appreciate it as much as I enjoy doing it. And that, that we give you what you look for as far as wrestling audio, wrestling criticism, and all of that. Thank you for listening. And again, have a great holiday. Be safe, everyone.